دوستان عزیز، سخنران امشب جلسه تهران AA که جلسه رسمی ثبت شده دفتر خدمات جهانی و زیر نظر ناحیه 15 الکلی‌های گمنام در تهران است، خانم سیلا با هوشیاری 27 سال هستند و برای ما از تجربیاتشون درباره قدم 12 صحبت می‌کنند. مترجم محترم امشبمون آقای مسعود هستند. سلام آقای مسعود، شبتون بخیر.
سلام، خسته نباشی.
سلام، شب شما بخیر. میکروفون جلسه در خدمت شما است.
ممنونم. خانم سیلا رو اگه میشه میکروفونشون رو باز بکنین. های سیلا، do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Celia, alcoholic.
Celia, how are you?
I'm good today, thank
Go
you.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
خانم سلیا هست، اسمشون خانم سلیا و یک الکلی هستن. Go ahead, yes.
مسعود جان، فقط بگو دوربینش رو روشن کنن.
روشنه، من میبینم ایشون. Would you please turn on your camera and let it stay on?
Okay. My name is Celia. I'm an alcoholic.
من سلیا و یک الکلی هم.
And I'm very grateful to be spending some time with you here in the rooms of AA through this teleconference. I want to thank Ali.
خیلی سپاسگزارم که میتونم دقایقی رو با شما بگذرونم از طریق این تلکنفرانس.
I want to thank Ali and all of you in Tehran for being here this morning. I'm listening and trying to figure out when there's a share and when there's reading, and what I know is that we all suffer from alcoholism together in whatever language we speak, and the terrors of alcoholism have affected us, and we're here together to recover from that. So I'm grateful for that experience.
و میخوام خیلی تشکر کنم از دوستم علی و همه بچه‌هایی که توی تهران هستن. این جلسه رو برپا میکنن و هر وقت ما مشارکت میکنیم یا کتاب میخونیم راجع به این درد مشترکمون صحبت میکنیم و وحشتی که بیماری الکلیسم همراه خود داره، و خدا رو شکر که اینجا تونستیم اون رو از بین ببریم.
I'm going to share the way I've been taught to share in my area. I'm from Los Angeles, California. My sobriety date is September 5th, 1994. I have a sponsor. Her name is Tommy Peru. I have a home group that I have been part of for the past 20 years. I sponsor...
Would you please hang on, because I forget the beginning. من همون جوری که یاد گرفتم توی AA مشارکت میکنم و باید بهتون میگم که سال 1994 هوشیار شدم و راهنمایی دارم، اسمشون تامی هست و یک جلسه خانگی. اوکی.
Anyway, like I said, my sobriety date is September 5th, 1994, so I'm sober 26 years. I'm grateful for that. It's been a struggle. It hasn't been easy. I Googled alcohol in Tehran, because to be honest with you, I didn't know much about your country, other than there's a lot of Iranians in a particular area in Glendale, California.
You Googled Alcoholics Anonymous in Tehran, or you Googled alcohol?
Both.
و همجور که گفتم، من سپتامبر 1994 هوشیار شدم و الان 26 ساله که هوشیار هستم و راه دشواری بوده، به سادگی این مسیر رو طی نکردم. و برای اینکه بگم که چقدر به فلوشیپ شما علاقه بند هستم، باید بگم که من الکل و انجمن الکلی های گمنام رو توی گوگل سرچ کردم که از اوضاع تهران در این رابطه با خبر بشم، و در این حال دوستان بسیار زیادی دارم اینجا توی کالیفرنیا که با هم دیگه خیلی قبلا مشروب می نوشیدیم. So you used to drink alcohol with Iranian also in Los Angeles, yes?
Yes. Dated a couple. Yeah. Yes. Lots of that you people are my people, for sure. Alcohol, if, I don't know if my Google sources are correct, is illegal in Iran. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, these people are my people. My people. Because no matter what, you know, once I'm in the grips of my illness, I'm going to drink. You know, whether it's legal or not legal, whether some way, somehow, I'm going to make it happen. And so I immediately connected with you all, immediately.
و به هر حال توی گوگل متوجه شدم که مشروبات الکلی در ایران ممنوع هست و غیر قانونیه، اما خیلی حال کردم که به هر حال شما آدم های همجنس منین و هم نوعای من، هر جور که باشه، چه ممنوع باشه چه نباشه، به خاطر بیماری که ما داریم مشروب گیر میاریم و یک جوری یک طوری یک جایی شروع به مصرف میکنیم. بنابراین خیلی خوشحالم که به هر حال هم نوعان خودم رو در تهران پیدا کردم و باشون مشارکت میکنم. اوکی؟
So, anyways, just a little bit about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like today. I guess I had my first drink. I was a child. I was maybe 4 or 5 years old. My dad was a big drinker. I'd follow him around, and I could, you know, vividly remember watching that can and looking for it to land on a table so that I can come up behind him and have a drink, you know. And my family, it was normal. It was normal for us to celebrate that way. It was normal for a child to, not all children, but I guess maybe the alcoholic child, the one whose destiny was that, to just, you know, drink right behind the parent. And my dad would lift me up in the air, and I'm Mexican. That's my ethnicity. I'm Mexican. And he would lift me up in the air, and he'd show me to the crowd, and in Spanish he would say, look at her. Look at my beautiful Indian. And I loved it. I loved the effect produced by booze, and I loved the effect produced by my dad.
اوکی. خب میخوام یه خورده راجع به این صحبت کنم که ما چگونه بودیم، چه اتفاقی افتاد و اکنون چگونه هستم. فکر میکنم خیلی بچه بودم، 4-5 سالم بود که اولین بار مشروب خوردم و پدر من یک مشروب خوار قهار بود و من پشت میز میتونستم از اون ظرف مشروب بردارم و الکل بخورم. توی فامیل ما این خیلی نرمال بود که توی مهمونی ها مشروب بخوریم، حتی بچه ها. و یادم میاد با توجه به اینکه اصالت من مکزیکی هست، پدر من وقتی من با اون سن کم مشروب میخوردم، منو بغل میکرد و میپروند روی هوا و با زبون اسپانیایی به مهمونا میگفتش که من افتخار میکنم به این عروسک زیبای سرمستم. اوکی؟
You know, I don't know that I did not become an alcoholic at the age of 5. You know, that was just kind of letting you know what it was like growing up. It was a lot of booze, a lot of drugs too, in my family. And we were lower socioeconomic, so we had, you know, had little resources, financial resources. A lot of love, a lot of food, a lot of booze. That's what was real common in my home. And I remember, like, feeling very resentful early on, resentful at, you know, our lack of resources. I was resentful at my color, you know, my brownness. I was resentful at being a girl. I hated being a girl because boys seem to have an edge, you know what I mean? There's something, so much that they could do that we could not, and I was resentful at that. I was resentful at some of the things that my family represented, and so I walked around with this big old, you know, huge chip on my shoulder. I was ready for a drink, I think, like every single day. You know, I wanted it to get that sense of ease and comfort that I later discovered alcohol immediately brought.
Okay. و من البته باید بهتون بگم مشروب خوردن من که تو سن 4-5 سالگی شروع شد، همون موقع من الکلی نشدم، ولی به هر حال مشروب و حتی مواد تو خانواده ما فراوان بود و ما از لحاظ اقتصادی تو طبقه زیر متوسط جامعه بودیم و مکزیکی تبار بودیم و توی همچین خانواده غذای زیاد و مشروب زیاد و مواد زیاد، انگار که همه چیز زندگی هست. و یادم میاد که خیلی رنجشی بودم از همون ابتدا، از رنگ خودم، رنگ پوست خودم، از اینکه قهوه‌ای هستم، از اینکه حتی یک دختر هستم به شدت رنجش داشتم، چون پسرها میتونستن کارهایی بکنن که ما دخترها نمیتونستیم بکنیم. و بدین ترتیب مشروب خاری الکلیوار من شروع شد و مشروب میخوردم که خودم رو آروم بکنم و این رنجش ها رو در خودم تخفیف بدم. اوکی.
So anyway, to my journey with booze, you know, started probably my real journey was I don't know, maybe when I was 13-14, I started drinking regularly, steadily, and then, you know, after I dropped out of high school, I then started drinking almost daily. I, you know, was always, you know, well liked. I was popular. I was all the things that you want to be when you're in kind of my community. And but it wasn't enough, you know, it wasn't enough. And not because that doesn't make me alcoholic. The fact what does make me alcoholic is the not enough part. You know, that does make me alcoholic, you know. So anyways, I kept drinking because I love the effect produced by alcohol. I love what it does to me. I love what it does for me. I love that it allows me to check out of here and now and check into wherever I'd like to be. And usually what I want it to be, again, is to have that sense of ease and comfort that nothing else brought.
که بشم یک مشروب خوار واقعی از 13-14 سالگی شروع شد که به صورت رگیولار و مداوم و هر روزه تقریبا مشروب میخوردم. و وقتی که از مدرسه بیرونم کردن، پرتم کردن بیرون، من دیگه تبدیل شدم به یک مشروب خوار روزمره. و من با مشروب خواری همه اون چیزی که شما دوست دارید باشید بودم و توی اجتماعی که زندگی میکردم به همه اون چیزهایی که میخواستم، حس خوبی که داشتم و اون چیزی که میخواستم از خودم نشون بدم رسیده بودم، اما هیچ وقت کافی نبود. و این که من مشروب میخوردم و یا نمیدونم کارهایی میکردم دلیل الکلی شدن من نبود، بلکه قسمتی که من رو الکلی کرد این بود که هیچ وقت هیچی برای من کافی نبود. اوکی؟
So in my early 20s, my alcohol progressed. I was also using a number of drugs, and I started kind of getting those thoughts of what's wrong with me. Actually, not kind of a thought that dominated every morning in my mind was what is wrong with me. I would look to my left and my right and see persons that I had grown up progressing in life. I would see my family members seeming to do okay, and I would wonder, like, what's wrong with me? I had no idea what was wrong with me. Why can I not get it together? Why can I not seem to pull myself out of all of these goddamn situations? And and I was bright. You know, I was destined to be something, and it just couldn't come to pass. It couldn't come to pass. I was hostage to my master, alcohol. I didn't know that, but I kind of started putting some dots together. I met a woman who was in recovery. She actually was my boss, and she introduced me to the first person who I met that was clean and sober, who had lived in similar conditions as I had, and I believe drank and used drugs the way that I was using them.
Okay. و توی ابتدای دهه 20 زندگیم بود، یعنی 20 سالگی به بعد، دیگه الکلیسم من پیشرفته تر شد و مواد هم به اون اضافه شد و کم کم شروع شد این فکر در من غوطه متجلی شدن که من چه مرگمه و چرا نمیتونم با مسائل و مشکلات عدیده‌ای که داره به وجود میاد خودم رو از تو اینا بکشم بیرون و مسائل رو بتونم باشون کنار بیام. و این موقعیت‌های لعنتی چرا تموم نمیشه، این وضعیت‌های بعد چرا پشت سر همه اتفاق میفته. و خلاصه این که من اسیر ارباب خودم الکل بودم و نهایتا من اولین کسی رو که توی AA ملاقات کردم خانمی بود که توی بهبودی بود و هوشیار بود و ایشون رئیس من بود در این حال. So the first person that you met in a recovery program was your boss.
Yes.
And was he a man or a woman?
A female. Her name was Mary. Mary Sando.
Yes. Okay.
So I met Mary, and she, like I said, she was not only my boss, she was a woman who, reminded me a lot of the women that I grew up with, except that she was, sober and clean. She was a recovering heroin addict. She had been to prison. She had multiple experiences and she would come to work with so much light. She was like light, it would come out of her. And but I believed her. It's like, how is this woman in front of me so graceful, so elegant, so beautiful? The woman that she, because she started sharing, and I didn't know this, but she started 12-stepping me. She started sharing her experience, her strength, her hope with me, telling me a little bit about herself, giving me little pieces of nuggets of this beautiful program called Alcoholics Anonymous. And I couldn't make the connection. How do you leap from a, heroin addict, been to prison, had all these experiences to this graceful, amazing human being?
Okay. و اسم این خانم که هم رئیس من بود و هم الهام بخش من شد برای بهبودی و هوشیاری، مری بود. و مری مثل من یه زندگی گذشته ای داشت که پر از مصرف الکل، مواد و تجربیات غم‌انگیزی مثل زندان بوده. اما توی وقتی که با ایشون ملاقات کردم مثل نور بود و انگار ازش نور میبارید و بسیار انسان زیبا و قدردان و سپاسگزاری شده بود. و او شروع کرد به مشارکت کردن تجربه، نیرو و امیدش با من و با این کار در حقیقت شروع کرد قدم 12 رو انجام دادن و پیام بهبودی رو به من رسوند. و من متحیر بودم که یک آدمی که روزگاری موادی بوده و زندان رفته و اینقدر زندگی بدی داشته چگونه تبدیل به چنین موجود زیبایی شده. اوکی.
So what I know today is, Mary was my 11th tradition. She was my attraction rather than promotion. And what I've learned from that is that how important it is for me to wear Alcoholics Anonymous in the world and not necessarily express AA in the world, but wear it in the world. Be the woman that AA has taught me how to be outside of my home. And because had it not been for Mary and her having been that woman outside of her home, I would have never been brought into the fold. So she is my 11th tradition, and she is what we call Eskimo. She is my Eskimo, brought me out of the cold. So what happened is one day, Mary and I used to smoke cigarettes together. We used to take breaks together. And one day we were smoking a cigarette, and I remember asking her, "Hey, Mary, those meetings that you go to? Do you ever, graduate?" And she looked at me, and she said, "No, Celia, I do it one day at a time."
Okay.
And then
این مری الگوی سنت 11 من هست، یعنی جاذبه و نه تبلیغ. و اون به من یاد داد به وسیله جاذبه که به عنوان یک زن در AA از خونه بزنم بیرون و فرقی نمی کنه در کجای دنیا قرار ما پیام برسونیم و ما باید توی این کار فعال باشیم. و اون در حقیقت، حالا اصطلاحی که ایشون به کار می برن، اسکیمویی بود که من رو از توی زندان یخ و از اون یخچال‌هایی که درونش گیر کرده بودم بیرون کشید و به زندگی من گرما بخشید. و یادم میاد که ما توی بریک، یعنی وقتای استراحت بعد از جلسه، با هم دیگه سیگار میکشیدیم و یه بار که داشتیم با هم سیگار میکشیدیم بهش گفتم که مری، به نظرت این جلساتی که ما شرکت میکنیم کی فارغ التحصیل میشیم؟ و اون گفت هیچ وقت، ما این رو یک روز به یک روز و a day at a time انجامش میدیم و فقط برای یک روز. اوکی؟
So, and I knew she was a recovering heroin addict, and she was part of another fellowship, which centered around addicts. And I remember asking her, well, what about alcohol? You know, are you ever going to be able to drink again? And what she did in that moment, she has no idea. That moment, I want to cry right now, that moment changed the course of my life. What she said to me was, you know what, Celia, I can't, but who knows, maybe someday you can. And having okay. no idea that what she did for me in that instant was plant a seed of hope. And the hope wasn't to get sober. The hope was to get different and to maybe one day successfully drink. That's what I wanted. I just wanted to know how to drink without all the bullshit. Could I just have that?
Beautiful. و اون عضو انجمن دیگه ای هم بود که با مواد سر و کار داشتن و یادم یه روز ازش پرسیدم که خب الکل چی؟ مشروب چی میشه؟ آیا روزی میرسه که ما بتونیم باز هم مشروب بنوشیم؟ منظورش اینه که عضو انجمن معتادان بودن، مری. و اون جوابی داد که زندگی من رو تغییر داد، یک جواب بسیار آگاهانه و زیبا که شاید معمولا ما این جواب رو نمیدیم. و اون گفتش که من نمیتونم، برای من اون روز نمیرسه، اما شاید روزی تو بتونی. و اگر چیز دیگه ای گفته بود، من این امید به من دست نمیداد که بتونم توی برنامه راه رو ادامه بدم، چون من با همین امید اومدم به جلسات که یه روز بتونم مشروب بخورم. و جالبه که برعکس، این امید راجع به هوشیاری نبود، بلکه راجع به این بود که تو شاید بتونی یه روزی مشروب بخوری، چون من همیشه آرزو داشتم بدون این بدبختی‌ها و فلاکت‌ها بتونم مشروبم رو راحت بخونم. So the hope was something you know, out of your imagination. You know, it is not usual that we say to other people that maybe you can drink someday. And that was you know, something the opposite side. I don't know.
Right. But what
that was
it
great.
Did, yeah, so what happened is over the course of the next couple of days, somehow or another, you know, she was leaving work early and I asked her, "Where are you going so early?" And she says, "I have to speak at a meeting. I have to go home and get ready." And I said, "Well, what's that? What do you mean you speak at a meeting?" And she says, "Yeah, you know, I go to meetings at night and I share my experience, strength, and hope with other addicts." She says, "Why don't you join me? You know, why don't you come on down?" And I said to her, "Oh, I don't know, I've got something to do." And she left the address to the meeting. And
okay, hang on. ساعتهایی که میگفت ما سیگار میکشیدیم تو وقتهای استراحت، منظورشون سر کار بود که هنوز به جلسات نرفته بودن. ولی بالاخره بعد از این امیدی که مری به ایشون داد، یه روز که با هم دیگه صحبت میکردن، مری به ایشون میگه که من امشب میرم تو یک جلسه و من اونجا سخنران هستم. و من گفتم منظورت چیه؟ گفتش که منظورم اینه که من تجربه، نیرو و امیدم رو با اونجا مشارکت میکنم. و چرا تو به من نمیپیوندی؟ و من یه بهانه آوردم، گفتم که من ببخشین امروز کار دارم نمیتونم بیام، ولی به هر حال اون آدرس جلسه رو برای من گذاشت. اوکی؟
So you know, I fought with myself and I wound up going to that meeting. I got there late and I proceeded to have my first experience with an anonymous program. And I watched Mary get up there, and I watched her do what I'm doing today, share her experience, strength, and hope. I watched her, you know, reach out to the alcoholic who still suffers in a different kind of format. Had no idea what was going on. I was 22 years old, or maybe about 22 years old. I had no idea what was going on. all I knew was that I was getting tired of how I was living, and somehow, some way, something about this woman made me think that there might be something different out there. And it was weird, because back then in the early 90s, you know, the AA crowd was not as young as it is now. And I don't know what the crowd looks like in Tehran, but in California, you know, the crowd is pretty younger. It's getting younger and younger, which is beautiful. But back then, I would look to my right and to my left, and there was some old people in the room, you know what I mean? And I would, and one more time, you know, what is wrong with me? Like, why am I? I'm 22. Why am I in this goddamn basement with these old ass winos having to listen to this woman? You know, I didn't understand that. Like, what is wrong with me? So that theme was still there. But what I knew is that something was wrong with me. I just didn't know what.
اوکی عرض شود خدمتتون که من تصمیم گرفتم که برم و اونجا اولین جلسه رو توی برنامه بهبودی تجربه کردم و دیدم که مری تجربه نیرو و امیدش رو با دیگران چگونه مشارکت میکنه و چگونه به دیگر الکلی‌ها و هم‌نوعان خودش کمک میکنه و اون موقع من فقط 22 سال داشتم و اصلا نمیفهمیدم چه خبره و فقط رفته بودم جلسه و دوزاریم نمی افتاد. فقط می فهمیدم که خستم از این زندگی و دیگه نمیتونم اینطوری ادامه بدم. و یادتون باشه AA اون موقع در کالیفرنیا چندان جوان نبود و نسل AA بسیار اون موقع پیر بود. الان خیلی AA جوان تر شده، نمیدونم توی تهران یا ایران چگونه هست، اما AA توی دوران من افراد جلسات بسیار مسن بودن توی سال 1994. و من به خودم گفتم خدای من فقط 22 سالمه و تو این زیرزمین با یه مش آدم مسن دماغو من چه غلطی دارم اینجا میکنم. اوکی.
So I didn't get sober that night, but the seed was planted I wound up, you know, trying to go to meetings and getting drunk and go to meetings and getting drunk and I'm really really fortunate that you know, that revolving door, that goddamn hamster wheel experience that we have as active alcoholics, you know, just spinning, jumping off for a little bit of air and then winding up spinning and spinning again, jumping back on that hamster wheel and just, you know, never-ending circular motion. I'm grateful that that only lasted about another 2 years for me. And so my sobriety date, like I told you, is 1994. I was 24 years old. I had just come off, a long weekend of drinking. I had just been discharged from an institution, having experienced, you know, the stuff that we experience, pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. And one more time,
okay.
Knowing.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, hang on. Sylvia, I love to listen to your sharing, but you know, I'm the interpreter and it's very hard to remember whatever you say. I'm just trying to write it down, the you know, the good points and the important points. So, اون شب من هوشیار نشدم دوستان، اما تخمش توی ذهن من گاشته شد و بعد از اون شب، اون جلسه اولی که رفتم، بارها و بارها به جلسه رفتم و دوباره مست کردم، به جلسه رفتم و دوباره مست کردم و این همسترها که توی یک چرخی میچرخن، من هی میچرخیدم و میچرخیدم، چرخی که تمومی نداشت، این رفت و آمد من و مست کردن من و به هیچ جا انگار من نمیرسیدم. ولی خیلی خوشبخت و خوششانس بودم که این دور باطل فقط 2 سال طول کشید و بعد از 2 سال در سن 24 سالگی بالاخره در سال 1994 من هوشیار شدم. اوکی؟
So again, it's Friday, September 5th, 1994, and I kind of stood in the background of AA for the first couple years. I didn't want to be like you guys. I wanted to just be someone who maybe had a little drinking problem that you can help me out with, and then I can get on with my life. In 1998, I was, staying sober. I got sober again, like I said. I did get kind of busy in Alcoholics Anonymous. I picked up some service commitments and I started hanging around with some young people in AA and I started doing, you know, things that keep, I believe, keep young people in AA sober. For me, this is my experience. And that's, you know, the social stuff and Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, we're very fortunate. I went to a lot of conventions. I went to AA workshops. I went to sober dances. You know, a lot of sober sports activities. And here, you know, I was able to, as a young person, kind of feed that need, my young person need, and be just engulfed in AA sober activities. And that's what kept me sober for the first couple of years, AA activities.
همونجور که گفتم نهایتا سال 1994 هوشیار شدم و یادمه که اصلا نمیخواستم مثل شما باشم و فقط فکر میکردم که یه کوچولو با مشروب مشکل دارم و میام از شما کمک میگیرم و بعدش بقیهش رو خودم خلاصه روبراه میکنم و میرم دنبال کارم. اما این اتفاق نیفتاد و خوشبختانه دو سال اول هوشیاری من با فعالیت‌های مختلف بسیار فعال بودم توی AA و این باعث شد که من هوشیار و پاک بمونم. خدمت گرفتم با جوانان AA سعی میکردم کار بکنم و در همایش های خیلی خوش شانس بودم که در همایش های متعدد شرکت کردم، در کارگاه های AA شرکت میکردم، در رقص های هوشیار یا سوبر دنس. حالا جاتون خالی، ما هم که توی آفریقا بودیم تو پرانتز بگم، بعد از جلسات ما رو میبردن خلاصه یه جای موزیکی میزدن و ما هم برای خودمون میرقصیدیم و خیلی خوش میگذشت. و تمام این کارهای و فعالیت هایی که من کردم توی هوشیاری و به خصوص فعال بودن در AA باعث شد که من دو سال اول رو پاک بمونم. اوکی؟
In 1998, I lost my mother. You know, she'd been sick for a while, and she went in for heart surgery on December 31st, 1997, and she never came out of it. I also happened to be 6 months pregnant of a daughter that I didn't know I wanted at the time. I never believed that I was cut out to be a mother. And so it was my first daughter. I was 28 years old. My mom was dying, and I was going to be this mom that I didn't know I wanted to be, even sober, you know. And so anyways, I believe that the book talks about, you know, there's going to come a time where no man or anything other than God is going to save us from, you know, from that first drink. And that was my experience. After my mom passed away in 1998, I was a new mother. I had this 3-month-old daughter that I didn't know what to do with. I lost my mother, and I was barely sober on AA activities. I hadn't done any of the real work in AA, and I was going to either drink or, you know, drive myself off the side of the road. I was stark, raving sober.
You start to what sober?
Oh, it's crazy, just crazy sober. No.
Okay. We call it dry alcoholic.
Dry. Yes, dry.
Okay. در سال 1998 مادر من از دنیا رفت. ایشون مدتی بعد از اینکه بیمار بود تحت یک عمل جراحی قلب قرار گرفت، اما هیچ وقت از اون عمل موفق بیرون نیامد و جونش رو از دست داد. همزمان من 6 ماه حامله بودم، دختری رو که اصلا نمیخواستم. 28 سالم بیشتر نبود و یک حاملگی ناخواسته بود و توی شرایطی گیر کرده بودم که به قول بیگ بوک بعضی وقتا شرایطی پیش میاد که هیچ چیز نمیتونه ما رو هوشیار نگه داره. فکر میکنم به اون قسمت اشاره میکنن که جز کار کردن با یک الکلی تازه وارد. اما من واقعا فعالیت هام رو توی AA کنار گذاشته بودم و حالم بسیار بد بود از اینکه مادرم مرده، از اینکه حامله هستم، دختری رو که نمیخواستم، حاملگی رو که نمیخواستم و حتی از اینکه هوشیار هستم. و خلاصه تبدیل شدم به یک الکلی خشک دیوونه، یعنی بدون اینکه قدم کار بکنه، یک الکلی خطرناک. اوکی.
As very lucky that the persons that I had surrounded myself with were good standing members in Alcoholics Anonymous. And instead of leaving me alone, they were constantly bothering me, you know, and making sure, not making sure, but just checking in on me, telling me, let's go to a meeting. You know, you gotta pull out of this and let me help you, and I'm here for you. And, you know, AA works and it works good. Just don't drink, and just surrounded by the love and power of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I found my way back into the meetings, and I, nothing to do with my prior sponsor. I had chosen a sponsor that I knew I could do the bare minimum with. And the only thing I wanted was for you guys to stop asking me, do you have a sponsor? And me have to say, no, not yet. Okay. Then you hang around, you know? So I got someone. So when you'd ask me, do you have a sponsor? I would say, yes, her name is Terry. And then you'd shut up, you know? And it was great. I can go on with my AA activity life and not have to worry about getting into any steps.
Okay, so you didn't have a sponsor, but you pretend that you have?
No, I did ask someone. Her name was Terry, but she required
to get rid of the questions.
Yes.
Okay. و من خیلی خوش شانس بودم که تو این موقعیتی که براتون تعریف کرده بودم که بسیار افسرده شده بودم. از قبل با افرادی چرخیده بودم توی AA با آدمای باثبات انجمن که آدم های جلسه ای بودن و اونا هی مرتب حال منو چک می کردن و به من می گفتن که دست رو دست نذار، بیا بریم جلسه. AA کار می کنه و خوب هم کار می کنه، فقط مشروب نخور. و خلاصه احاطه شده بودن با عشق الکلی های گمنام. و چیزی که بسیار اذیتم می کرد این بود که کسی از من بپرسه که تو آیا راهنما داری، و من متنفر بودم از این سوال. بعد بدن که از شر این سوال خلاص بشم، چون دوست نداشتم قدم کار بکنم، یه نفر رو همینجوری گرفتم راهنما که هر کس از من پرسید راهنما داری بگم بله فلانی راهنمای منه، و خلاصه دست از سرم بردارن. ولی اینم کلکی بود که من زدم که یکی رو یه راهنمای سوری بگیرم و هیچ قدمی هم کار نکنم و راحتم بگذارند. اوکی؟
So I found her. Her name was Tommy Peru, and she's the woman who took me through the steps. You know, I was in enough pain having recently, my mom did pass away in May of 98. My daughter was born in February of 98. And those two experiences put me in enough pain to become willing to work the steps. And I started taking those steps with my sponsor because somewhere in my grief, I decided I wanted to live more than I wanted to die. And I don't mean suicide live. I mean alcohol-free live, because I know what booze does to me. I know what it does to my body. I know what it does to my soul. I know what it does to my spirit. And I didn't want to die that death. You know, I did not.
Okay. This woman, whose name is Tommy, مادر من که فوت شد چند ماه بعدش توی فوریه دختر من به دنیا آمد، و با دردی که کشیده بودم از این داستانها، این درد منجر به این شد که حاضر بشم قدمها رو کار بکنم، و شروع کردم با این خانم تامی قدم کار کردن. و در اون دوره سوگواری تصمیم گرفتم که دوست دارم به زندگی ادامه بدم و نمیخوام به اون به زندگیم و برگشتن به مشروب خاری یک مرگ تدریجی داشته باشم، و دیگه نمیخواستم این انتخاب من باشه، بلکه میخواستم زندگی رو انتخاب بکنم و هوشیار بمونم با همه دردهایی که داره. بهتر از این بود که با مشروب مرگ تدریجی رو تجربه بکنم. اوکی.
So I'm going to use the I think I have, I'm not sure, do I have till 10:55?
Let me ask. الا جان میگن تا چه ساعتی من وقت دارم؟ الیزا جان
ایشون تا آقای مسعود، ایشون تا هر تایمی که صحبتشون ادامه پیدا کنه اوکیه، ما تا 10:30 وقت جلسه داریم و میتونم بعدش بمونیم یه ذره برای یه صحبت های دوستان.
بسیار Sylvia.
Yes.
We have time of until 10:30 Iran time.
Okay, so tell me how many minutes that is from now.
11 minutes.
Okay, perfect. Okay. So, so I'm going to use the last, 11 minutes to wrap my experience with step 12 into, my sober experience. I was asked to share a little bit about step 12, and I think right about now is the period of my sobriety where step 12 became instrumental in my life.
اوکی و من میخوام تو این دقایق باقی مونده تجربه‌ام رو راجع به قدم 12 با شما مشارکت کنم در هوشیاری و این چیزی که بوده از من خواستن که تو این جلسه با شما مشارکت کنم و فکر میکنم همین الان قدم 12 شده یک بخش اساسی و حیاتی از زندگی من. اوکی؟
So step 12 is having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. We try to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. And, and what I know about step 12, and it's really clearly put, to paraphrase what the book says, is that nothing shares immunity from alcohol as constant work with others.
Okay. و قدم 12 میگه با بیداری روحانی حاصل از برداشتن این قدم ها ما کوشیدیم که این پیام را به سایر الکلی ها برسانیم و این اصول را در تمام امور زندگی خود به اجرا درآوریم. و همونجور که جدا کرده و به زبان پارافریز کرده توی کتاب الکلی های گمنام، هیچ چیز به اندازه قدم کار کردن مستمر با دیگر الکلی ها به بهترین نه قدم 12 رو در زندگی ما متجلی نمی‌کنه. اوکی؟
So for it was a beautiful coincidence that right about the time that I was progressing in my own steps that I started experiencing the way my sponsor gave it to me was when someone asked me if I would be their sponsor, in essence what they're saying to me is Celia, can I help you save your life?
Mm-hmm. و راهنمام طوری این قدم رو به من یاد داد که اگر کسی از من درخواست کرد که راهنماش بشم، من از اون این سوال رو بپرسم که آیا به من اجازه میدی کمکت کنم که زندگیت رو نجات بدی؟
So these women started asking me, if they can help me save my life, and I was taught to say yes. Yes, please help me save my life. And I started going through the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous with these women. And my experience is that everybody, has to have their own experience and their own journey with Alcoholics Anonymous, just like mine. When I was 3.5-4 years sober and members of the program were watching me dance around Alcoholics Anonymous, I am so grateful you never kicked me out. I am so grateful that all you would do to me is shake your head and say, keep coming back, kid.
One question. Did you say to your sponsors or did the people who asked for sponsorship, you told them that, would you please let me save my life or your life?
No, my life.
آره ببخشید من اینو اینجوری براتون ترجمه کنم. میگفتش که وقتی که از تو تقاضا میشه، راهنمای من اینجوری به من یاد داد که وقتی از تو تقاضا میشه که راهنمای کسی بشی، به اون طرف بگو که آیا اجازه میدی که من به تو کمک کنم و بدین وسیله زندگی خودم رو نجات بدم. و بدین ترتیب تقاضاها شروع شد و من شروع کردم با این خانم ها بیگ بوک و کتاب بزرگ الکلی های گمنام رو کار کردم و چیزی که یاد گرفتم اینه که هر کس زندگی خودش و سفر خودش رو در الکلی های گمنام داشته باشه. و خاطرم هست که وقتی 3.5 سال هوشیار بودم و توی ایول میگشتم و خلاصه نه قدمی و نه برنامه، هیچ کسی چی به من نمیگفت جز این که به جلسات برگرد و من با همون چیزی که بودم حالم خوب بود و خوشحال بودم و شما هیچ کس من رو از ای ای بیرون نکرد. اوکی؟
I learned that step 12 is an opportunity for your broken to connect with my broken. I learned. Go ahead.
من یاد گرفتم که قدم 12 هم. What do you mean by your broken connect to my broken? You mean your broken heart?
Your broken everything.
و من یاد گرفتم که قدم 12 یک شانسی هست و یک فرصتی هست که بخش شکسته تو با قسمت شکسته در هم شکسته وجود من ارتباط برقرار کنه. اوکی؟
And that together we get to put our brokens together and have all those cracks in between and keep those cracks in between. Just polish around the cracks. We need the cracks because we need to let the sunlight in. That's how it comes in through our cracks. Yeah.
و به این ترتیب ما میتونیم که قطعات شکسته خودمون رو در کنار همدیگه قرار بدیم و خودمون رو بازسازی بکنیم و بتونیم این جام شکسته رو از نو بسازیم. البته اجازه بدیم ترکهاش سر جایش بمونه چون ما به این ترکها نیاز داریم که نور واردمون بشه. اوکی؟ منظورشون نور خدا هست.
You know, I want to say, you know, that I had a number of persons sponsor me, and it was, I mean, I'm sorry, that I sponsored. I have had the same sponsor for the past 20 years, 22 years, actually. She's declining in health a little bit, so the sisterhood or the sistership that I have, we're having to carry each other a little at this point, and it's good because we all can give each other a little of what she taught us through her sponsorship when we need it.
و ما این رشدهایشون این رابطه خواهری رو با همدیگه حفظ کردیم و همدیگه رو حمایت میکنیم و اونجوری که اون به ما رو حمایت میکنه همونطور که راهنمای ایشون رو راهنمایی کرده. Okay, go ahead.
So I've sponsored over the years probably about, I don't know, 16 to 20 women. What I do know, what I know with absolute certainty and because of my experience is that persons who take the steps stay sober.
و من توی این 20 چند سال گذشته 16 الی 20 خانم رو راهنمایی کردم و راهنماشون بودم و چیزی که به طور مطلق و مطمئن یاد گرفتم و متوجه شدم اینه که اگر قدم‌ها رو بردارید پاک می‌مونید.
Persons who take the steps and continue to carry the message to alcoholics who still sober, not to stay sober, not only stay sober but have an insurance plan.
و افرادی که هم قدم‌ها رو برمی‌دارن و هم این پیام رو به دیگر الکلی‌هایی که هنوز در عذاب هستن می‌رسونن، نه تنها هوشیار می‌مونن، بلکه یک بیمه دارن، یک بیمه تضمین شده.
I've learned that my feet are trained. They're just trained. They know what to do. You know, they know what to do when I'm in pain, they know what to do when I'm happy, they know what to do. Most importantly, they know what to do when I'm cocky. I need to be very careful with my cockiness in Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't want to lose sight of the fact that I am alcoholic.
What do you mean by they know what to do? Who knows what to do?
My feet.
Your feet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. میگه که گام‌های من و قدم‌های من میدونن که چی کار بکنن وقتی که من تحت تاثیر ترس هستم، وقتی که من تحت تاثیر درد هستم، وقتی که من نمیدونم حالم خوبه. پاهای من میدونن که چه جوری باید گام بردارن. و حتی وقتی by cocky you mean selfish,
overconfident and selfish, yes.
و خیلی مهمه که این قدم ها رو زمانی که خیلی اعتماد به نفس زیادی پیدا میکنیم و خودخواهی به ما دست میده توی AA همچنان برداریم و مواظب این مسئله غرور و خودخواهی در AA باشیم. اوکی؟
So I'm really glad that I've been taught, you know, through sponsorship and through the experience that I have of working with others, you know, just how to stay my size. How to stay my size, how to keep my head in humility, how to know that I suffer from a disease where there is no known cure, you know, and that my solution is in Alcoholics Anonymous.
و من خیلی خوشحالم که توی این برنامه یاد گرفتم که به اندازه خودم باشم و متواضع باشم و سعی نکنم گنده بشم و یادم نره که از یک بیماری کشنده رهایی پیدا کردم و راه حل من هم الکلیای گمنام بوده و هست. اوکی؟
So I'm going to just wrap it up. I have a minute to just thank each and every one of you for allowing me to be here. And just this is just a little nugget of a 12 step for me, but the true work is in me reaching out to the newcomer in at every opportunity. So and this is an opportunity. So thank you very much to Running A for letting me share my experience.
و تو این دقیقه آخر میخوام خیلی تشکر بکنم از تک تک شما به خصوص تهران ای ای که اجازه دادن که من اینجا تجربه‌ام رو در اختیارتون قرار بدم و این فقط یک تیکه کوچیکی از قدم 12 قدم من هسته که بتونم از هر فرصتی استفاده بکنم که به یک تازه وارد کمک بکنم. Thank you so much, Celia.
Thank you.
It was my pleasure to be your interpreter tonight, and I hope to see you again as we trudge the road of happy destiny.
Thank you. You all have a wonderful wherever you're at evening. Bye bye.
Thank you so much. Bye bye. خسته نباشین خانم.